You are listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 19. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. Hello, welcome back to Called to Homeschool. We're here with episode number 19 today, and we're going to talk to you about homeschooling with babies and toddlers.
Is it possible?
Is it? What do you think?
Well, I keep doing it.
You keep doing it, me too. I've done it a few times also. So we definitely think it's possible, and today we're going to share our tips and advice on how we've made it work.
Yeah, I think we could even add on this one, being pregnant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that too. When you're pregnant, especially in the last trimester, you pretty much have no energy and you're sitting around not wanting to do anything anyway. Just like after the baby's born, you have no energy and you're sitting around not wanting to do anything. So it's kind of the same. So I was thinking it sort of like prepares you and your kids for the newborn to come, right?
Yeah. That's what we do a lot of reading at the end of my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Like, bring me a book. I'll just sit here.
I'll just be right here.
Yeah.
Whatever you need.
Yeah. And let me sleep all afternoon.
Totally.
I'll just go play outside. Uh-huh. We're going to start with kind of, we talked about this before with, sometimes when you have a problem and it's right up to your face, you cannot see a solution. It feels too big and too heavy. And a toddler and a baby, and I don't mean to say it negatively that they're a problem, but it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And I mean, just your husband doesn't go, or if you have a career where you're outside of the home, you don't lug a baby.
Right.
Because you can't get as much stuff done.
Yeah. And you feel like you sometimes can't get through this and you can't accomplish anything when there's this baby or this toddler underfoot.
Uh-huh. So kind of the step one is believing that you can figure out a solution.
Yeah.
Because if Karen and I, who are brilliant homeschool geniuses, tell you like 5-10 awesome solutions that have worked for us, mm-hmm. for 100 of our homeschool friends, but you're in a really negative mindset, then nothing we say will help you find a solution.
That's true. You have to believe that you can make it work first.
Yes. And then is when you can step back from it, then you can kind of be like, oh, okay, I can figure this out. And I haven't talked about this, a shameless plug right now. I am a homeschool life coach, especially with a lot of you beginning. And I've had a bunch of you reach out to me to do little consults of like, hey, I am in such a negative headspace, I can't see a solution. So this is a great topic that I would love to coach someone one-on-one with.
Yeah, it's awesome.
If you get stuck.
So one of the big things that you'll hear often is that the baby is the lesson.
Yes.
I hear people say this all the time in the homeschool community. And I really think that that's true, because if you think about it, all that you're learning through the process of pregnancy and the birth and then watching this little baby develop and grow and everything, that the children are learning so much just from that, on their own.
They really are. And I like to joke, because my last baby was a home birth and I let all my kids watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that was science.
Sure, definitely.
That was a lot of homeschool mixed into one thing.
Yeah, they're learning human development through the process.
A lot of compassion too. Like the one birth, like it was my hardest birth and I decided that's what I'm going to have all my kids watch. But I mean, hindsight's 20.
But kids are, you said compassion. They're also learning a lot of independence during this time period, because moms are so overwhelmed when a newborn comes and they need so much more help. And the kids are kind of, in a way, forced into it. You know, I can't do it. You're going to have to learn how to pour the cereal today. You know, even if you've never done it before, today you have to do it.
Today is your
right. Moment. And maybe they make this ginormous mess, but they learned how to pour that bowl of cereal that day. And so they're learning a lot of things through this process. And it's a good thing.
I think that's a beautiful perspective to think about that too. Like, let's say your kids do have to become more independent and they do make a mess or make mistakes, that they're growing from it. If you can just see this is awesome. It's okay that you spilled, because now you know how not to pour them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Now you know how not to do this. And so it's a lot of, if you can kind of have that perspective instead of feeling bad, like, oh, I wish I could be doing all these things, because there's a lot of growth that happens when mom steps out of the picture a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So one of the biggest things that I would say is just to relax and not stress about all the things that you can't do anymore now that you have this newborn that you're carrying around and caring for, because you're just not going to be able to do all the things you could do previously. So allow yourself a little bit of a break and don't stress about it.
Yeah. So I had, when we started homeschooling, baby number 5, like I've talked before, my first 6 kids are born in No, her first five kids are born in 6 years. Mm-hmm. So when we started homeschooling, my baby was 6 months old. So we didn't have her, but I had two more. And when my one guy came at the end of March, I had planned all of our school to end right when he came. And we took off April to when we didn't start school again until September. And that whole summer was just a lot of relaxing. My oldest was only 9 when he was born. So I had 6 kids, 9 and under. And we watched a lot of Magic School Bus, mm-hmm. a lot of Liberty Kids,
Leapfrog.
a lot of read alouds. We happen to live right by the library. So mm-hmm. some of my kids could just walk over there. But it was a really, really simplified mm-hmm. schedule.
Yeah. And that's what I've always done as well. With my last one, I took about 2 weeks off. She was January. And so I didn't want to take a ton off because we'd already taken Christmas and everything off, you know. So I took about 2 weeks off, which is perfect for me because I really do like our routine and our schedule. I feel like our family runs better when we've got our regular routine going. But I scale way back and I simplify yes. a ton and cut out all the extras and all the projects and all the messy things that are just too hard to do and to take too much energy out of you and just do the basics and the essentials.
Yeah. And with baby number 7, we actually took a week off. And like Karen said, I simplified it and I just decided what's the most important. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's scriptures, our read aloud, and my minute with mom. Mm-hmm. And those are the only thing I cared about getting done. And it was part of it was because my kids were older and I had taught them how to be independent learners.
Right. Yeah.
And so they could be more on their own and figuring things out. And then I would just kind of check in with them and then I'd go back to sleep with the baby.
Yeah. And we've talked a lot about that with the way we choose our curriculum and the way we're teaching our kids independence. And I think that's a huge blessing in times like this is that they know their routine and they know that they can open up their math or whatever it is and do it on their own. They know how to. And so you can keep things running for the most part with older kids during these times.
Yeah, absolutely. And so whether you're nursing or bottle baby, and I've had most of mine were nursing babies. My last one was bottle. So other people could help hold him. Mm-hmm. But if you have a nursing baby, you just put him right on and open up
keep
a book.
Reading.
Yeah. Keep reading. Like,
yep.
You also get science because you see anatomy as nursing all the time.
Very
right?
true. Yeah.
And just, it's a part of life. Like this is our family and it's a culture. And it was actually beautiful in the birth of the baby. We laughed about it because they had the TV on in the back watching a jazz game. And then I'm in the little birthing tub in the corner. But it was kind of, it sounds silly, but it was like, it was natural. Like, oh, there's mom in the corner having a baby. And obviously when I got close, the TV came off and it was more focused. But it was super distracting and nice. And just hearing the little voices of my babies. And they were all relaxing and having a good time. And it was just this beautiful culture and community.
That's
of
neat.
Like, oh, our mom's going to have a baby. But while we wait, we're going to watch the jazz. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention also, if you're suffering with postpartum or other, you know, health complications that come from your birth, it's going to take longer, and that's also okay as well. If you're struggling with things like that, you be okay with what you need and take what you need.
That's a beautiful thought. I think so. I didn't have postpartum with number 6, but I did with number 7. And it was a little bit harder mm-hmm. to have a transition. And thankfully, I did have my independent learners to kind of help. But like I said, with baby number 6, I took 5 months mm-hmm. off.
Yeah.
And I don't feel guilty about that.
She took
that.
A regular summer vacation, you know.
Plus April and May.
No, that's good.
All right.
Just a couple other thoughts. So there's going to be a lot more interruptions and distractions during these times. And so it's something you'll have to get used to. Sometimes it feels really frustrating that you can't just sit and do your normal schedule like you would have. So be okay with that as well and get used to that. And it's going to only escalate as the baby grows.
I was going to say,
that will lead us into toddlerhood.
Any family that like all their kids just...
No. That doesn't really ever happen in
babies
our house.
Just shake it up more.
But babies and toddlers shake it up a ton more. So yes.
All right. So now like I am in the throes of toddlerhood with a 2-year-old.
Yes, she is.
And so this one's hitting close to home. Is it possible to homeschool with a toddler and how in the world do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, it's hard.
Well, you know, it's funny. It depends on your kid.
I think that's true. I guess it really does depend on my kid because my youngest, I think, was easier than my third. My third little boy was probably the busiest kid I've ever known. Like he did not know how to walk. He ran everywhere and I would tell him to walk when we were, you know, at church or in the library or something like that. And he would try, but just could not even physically walk. And it was just the funniest thing to watch him. He was the busiest kid. And I have a post on my site about homeschooling with a toddler. And it's all about him when he was that age. And I was cracking up. I was looking through it to see my thoughts during that time period. And it's all just like active things. And because that's what he needed. And each toddler is going to be a little different in their needs. But yeah, it can be a really tough time, but it does depend on the child.
Yes, because I have Master George right now, and he's 2, and he's not a busy baby. He's a clingy baby. And so he actually most of the time is content to just sit with me, and is most of the time pretty great. Baby number 6, Brigham, was...
You called him the troll instead of the master.
Troll. Yeah, I called George Master, and we called Brigham Troll because he would like full on run away naked. And my cute neighbor would come and she'd tell me what I was doing wrong every week. And she's like, and I saw your boy naked again running down the street.
Oh, no.
Well, they grab him.
Well, my Burton, he painted his whole body red one day. Like completely. I think I have that on Instagram somewhere if you scroll way back a couple of years. But his whole face, his whole arms, everything was painted red. And that was in like a 2-minute time frame when we were painting and I walked away and he found the tray and covered himself. And it's great fun. And actually, I think he did it twice. I think there was a second time that happened. And I'm like, I didn't learn my lesson the first time. You don't ever leave a tray of paint alone with a toddler.
With a busy toddler. Yeah, so I've definitely had both. What I'm kind of doing, some things I've done with always having a toddler is I actually make it part of my other kids' school of rotating through taking turns with them.
I think that's such a good idea.
And so maybe it's a 10-15 minute block of saying, okay, it's your turn with the baby. And maybe that's going and playing outside. Maybe that's, if it's a cold day, maybe it's coloring with them. Karen's going to tell you a bunch of fun little activities you could do with them, but having a kid mentoring them, getting them a snack. And that's a great way for that older kid to learn responsibility as well. So it's a really awesome mentoring. It helps
you
and it helps the big kid.
So something I also learned with this age is they really want a lot of mom. And I found if I spent, 15-20 minutes with them first before I focused my attention on the older kids, they really felt satisfied and fulfilled in their mom time for a little bit. And I could get some time in with my bigger kids that needed me. And so that really worked well. So I would start with, just a little something for the toddler activity and then move on to my older kids. And I am going to give you some ideas here for some things to keep your toddler busy. And if you're a mom of a toddler, probably most of these are just obvious things, but if you're coming up into the toddler years and you're struggling or trying to figure out some ideas, maybe this will help you a bit, but you've probably seen online the busy bags or busy boxes where you put together just little activities inside of a bag and you can just pull out an activity. I have a whole post on it of tons of ideas of things you can do that I can link in the show notes, but just fun little like felt boards and different things like that. Play-Doh is a good, easy one. Messy, but it's one of the ones that you strap them into their high chair. I've got a couple in a row. If you strap them into their high chair and put something on their like a Play-Doh mat that they can try and build a shape with or something that can keep them occupied for a little bit without too much mess if you're not on carpet. if you haven't seen the dot markers, the little dabber markers, my little kids have loved those so much. They're so fun. They're big and chunky, so a hand can hold it and just do what they want with it. That's another one. You strap them in the high chair, give them a big piece of paper and let them just have at it and have a lot of fun. And watercolor painting is another one they can do pretty easily as well. I have a little no mess finger painting activity where you put paint inside of a bag and seal it and like put a piece of duct tape on it. And they can just squish around the paint and they feel like they're painting, but there's no mess getting anywhere. And it's a lot of fun for little ones. Movies. I try not to do too many movies with the little ones, but occasionally you can pop in a little something and they're fun to do. Small toys or blocks. Those are obvious. Puzzles, the little wooden puzzles that are easy for the toddlers to hold with the pegs on them. Have you ever seen those pop-up tunnels?
Yes.
We had one of those when my kids were littler. I don't have it anymore, but that would keep them occupied forever. They would make forts with them and just have so much fun with
them. Yes, we bought for George because he's so spoiled. He has his own playground, like little tykes in the house.
Oh, nice.
So he actually, a lot of times to read aloud, he goes up and down that.
Oh, that's cute.
He pulls his cars down the slide.
Yeah, and we have our patio is just right off. the room where we do our homeschool. So I can have my little toddler in the backyard playing. I put a, you know, his tricycle or kicking a ball or a little basketball net or something like that, where they can just be right there where you can see them out the window and keep an eye on them. So that's another thing where they can just be out active playing. Pattern blocks with the little plastic or wooden shapes they build patterns with are a good one. And lacing cards. My kids love stickers. We have a lot of stickers, but little kids will just love to stick stickers on a paper. Give them a sheet of stickers and just let them
all over their bodies.
Well, they do that too, but I don't care that much. It's easy. It's fun. Yeah. I found them at, it was at a yard sale, this like huge box of stickers for really cheap. And I'm like, sweet, I'll take them all. And my husband was like, are you crazy? What are you going to do with all these stickers? And they're like the fancy scrapbooky kind of ones. Okay. They're like really fun pictures that are different than the norm. My kids love them, and it's been years and we're still going through
them.
That's
funny, yeah.
So I let them do what they want with stickers. And then another is rubber stamps, just like the big stamps and ink. Those are fun for him. That's another strap them in the high chair kind of activity.
Yeah, I was going to
say ink. Yep. But there's washable ink, like Crayola washable inks that are fine. And then I have these little, like a tracing mat. This is for a little bit older toddler, like closer to the 3-year-old age, where they can actually trace something. But there's like dotted shapes or dotted letters on them, and you laminate them and do it with a dry erase marker, so they can do that again and again. So
yeah, those are awesome. I also like to try to include them as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so if we're learning Greek and I'm giving everybody a worksheet, I always give the baby one to the toddler. I come up
taking color on
the toddler, because then he feels included. Mm-hmm. And so he wants to sit with the kids. He wants a pencil like the kids. He wants a paper like the kids. And so even if it's not the actual paper the kids have, just to feel included. And it's been cute this summer, as I've done Minute with Mom, Georgie will come sit on the couch and say, okay, Georgie's turn.
Oh, that's cute.
And so I thought, well, okay, then maybe we'll start like teaching you. You're 2, I know, but like we've been counting to 10 and singing the ABCs. And then he's really happy. He's like, okay, Georgie's turn's done.
Yeah, they just need a couple minutes, really.
Yes.
It's cute. But yeah, it is good. If they can be included in what you're doing or listening into the stories you're reading to the bigger kids, they love that. And it's as much as they can include them, because it's not going to hurt them in any way, right?
Right. I know. And I was going to say, so something with like how Carmen's little guy was busy and my number 6 was super busy. We did a lot more active activities where we jumped things.
And, yeah. And we did that too.
Like, I don't know. So Georgie's a little bit easier. Like if I stand up, because he likes me to just sit down, and that makes him really happy. And so he's actually quite content during school because I'm just sitting there.
That's nice.
I know. And so for my little bonus baby, that's my
overlining. Yeah. Most toddlers aren't like that. So she's a lucky one.
Well, I've had 7, so it was about time.
So one of the biggest things though is nap time is like golden. Yeah. So anytime I put my toddler down for a nap, that's when I would do the harder things, you know, the things where you need to read aloud for a long time, or you need to do an experiment that came with science,
or something messy,
or your art study, or something messy that you don't want them involved in, that you know that they would dump or paint themselves or whatever it might be. That's the time to do those things. And you have usually a good chunk when they're asleep that you can get those kinds of things done.
Yeah. And they grow up. So you try to enjoy it and have fun and the silly things they do. And I utilize my big kids a lot to help with toddlers.
Yeah, it's nice when you have bigger kids that you can do that with.
Yes, like I don't rarely put Georgie down for his naps. Big kids do. I can be doing Minute with Mom.
That's good.
Minute with Mom is probably my biggest time chunk of my day. Mm-hmm. And so my kids really like that. So they're good to help me put Georgie to
bed. That's great.
To bed.
Yeah, toddlers are a lot of fun. So yes, definitely enjoy them and take lots of pictures of the funny things that they do, because those days will be gone soon. I don't have one anymore. And it's kind of funny looking back on it now and thinking about it, but it goes quickly.
It does. And it's been fun to kind of, the bonus baby was a huge shock and a lot of tears. But now that I have a baby again with such a big space, I've totally just loved it and enjoyed it. Like I eat it up. And that's why he's called Master George, is because I spoil him rotten.
He's a lucky little guy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening today. We're happy you tuned in. And we'd love to hear any of your comments or suggestions on how you survive homeschooling with your babies and toddlers.
Yeah. Or if you have more questions.
Yeah. We're happy to answer any other questions or any other thoughts on that. But have a great one. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.